Okay, let's review the last pasuk of Perek Dalet. I have a couple of more things to discuss. Pasuk Dalet, Shemor Raglecha Kasher Telech El Beis Elokim. A person should guard. There's a command: guard your feet. Guard your feet, Kasher Telech El Beis Elokim. Guard your feet when you go to the Beis Hakneses, or really to the Beis Hamikdash. V'koroiv L'Shemaya. And it's better to listen mites hakesilim zavach. Better to listen than to give, than the giving of the sacrifices by the fools. Ki einem yodim la sosra. They do not know. They do not know. We learn different perushim, the difference between good and evil. That's how most of the commentators learn Shan the pasuk. For review, maybe we should just review very quickly the major interpretations of the pasuk. Just run through them very quickly, because we already did this, but it's worthy to review a little bit. Okay, the last pasuk Yitzayin in pasuk in Perek Dalet. Shmar Ragel. Let's see the mitzvahs very quickly. Shmar Ragel. Be'es Hashem Teilecho Be'es Hamikdash. What is the Beis Elokim? According to the mitzvahs, the Beis Elokim is the Beis Hamikdash. The loy. When you go to the Beis Hamikdash, make sure you don't go to the Beis Hamikdash to bring chatois v'ashamos. Perek Dalet, pasuk Yud Zayin. So according to the interpretation of the Mitzudos, when a person goes to the Beis Hamikdash, you can go for multiple reasons. You can go because it's the Shalosh Regalim. And it's a shalosh pa'amim bashana yireh called zuchur chas pnei Hashem Elokecha. And then you can go to the Beis Hamikdash because chas v'shalom, the person did an avera. He was by mistake mechal Shabbos. So he has to take off in the middle of the winter. He has to get on a plane and go to the Beis Hamikdash to bring a carbon. The pasuk says, Shemor Raglucha, guard your feet so that you should not. Okay, that's the key focus. You have to add that word into the pasuk according to the mitzvah stuff. But guard your feet that you should not go to the Beis Hamikdash to bring korbanos because of chatos v'ashamos. Ki tov shelo techta v'lo savi kapara. Remember, we did all this last time. Person, just the point is, better not go altogether. V'karav l'shmaya yoisa miskar v'adam elalaka baruch hu. B'seis, it's better yoisa miskarei v'adam elalaka baruch hu b'seis slev l'shmaya. It's better to listen to Hashem at a distance than to come to the Beis Hamikdash and bring korbanos. Better sit on the New York subway and daven or learn a daf gemara on the subway when you're sitting in between on one side a Mexican, another side a Puerto Rican. Hashem would prefer you do that and be an erlich person than go and spend $5,000 and going to Eretz Yisrael, hotel, car fare, and go touring for the religious experience of bringing korbanos. Well, why am I bringing the korbanos? Because I was nichshol in averos. Hashem says, stay home and be koroiv l'shmaya. Mites mimatan hazevach shalakasilim shechaitim imevim carbon kapar, more than the zevach of the foolish people that sin and bring a carbon kapara. Ki inim yoidim retzoleimar. They don't know the difference. They don't even know what ra is. They think that it's better to sin and go to the Beis Hamikdash than to stay home and do nothing. And that's exactly what the pasuk says, according to the Mitzvahs, is a very great mistake. Then we learn Rashi. Rashi is a little bit different. Pasuk Yitzayin, Shema Ragin L'chok Asher Telech El Beis Holakim Heach Telech. Hashem said, I want you to go, but I want you to come and bring me, I want you to bring me Karbos Toidois, Nedavois. I want you to come, take off in the middle of the winter and come to the Beis Hamikdash. But don't come for sins. Heach Telech, how you go? Im tavi toidav v'nedavash v'nidvash shlamim chuatoiv u'shmor atzmecha shaloi titztarech v'chavos chatois v'yashamas. Period. V'koroiv have l'shmoya divrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You shall come close to listen to the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hu toiv v'koroiv li HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he translates the word v'karoiv yushal. It is v'karoiv l'shmaya. To be, you are coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by listening. V'karoiv, the way you come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by listening to his words. Better than the foolish people who bring sacrifices, who sin and only bring sacrifices through averos. Okay, this we explain. It's exactly the same thing as the mitzudos. Okay, then we learned the targum. The targum was pretty similar. It was similar, but just a teeny bit different. Back in the pasuk Shemor Raglucha. Pasuk Yedzayin in the Targum, Ant Barnash, you man, Tar, guard, Raglcha, your feet, be idon, this sezel beis muk deshah da Hashem letzaloha. When you do come, you will, it's inevitable you're going to come. You're going to come, letzaloha, letzaloha means to davin, de lo sehoch tamon milei choyvin. When you come, you should not come there. Don't come there. Sohoch taman means to arrive there filled with sin. When you do come to the Beis HaMikdash to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do not arrive in the Beis HaMikdash in a situation where you're filled with sin. Adelo sisuv, without doing teshuvah. The focus of the mitzvah, the targum, is you're going to come no matter what. And you're going to come to bring korbanos. But when you come to bring korbanos, you should be in the matziv of cleanliness, of chenlitz, of sin. You have already done tshuva. Yes, well, that's pretty much, maybe, but he's, over here in this sefer, he explains that Sarasi Bamadinos, he recites some sources, is that tshuva works even for sins that are done benezit. So maybe that's what he's really trying to say. Different than Rashi and the Mitzudas. So according to Rashi, and then you bring a carbon. So a carbon only comes for a shkaga. So then they'll tell the person that when you bring the carbon, you have to first be misvade. But if a person doesn't avera benezid, there's no carbon. So here it's the focus of the pasuk according to the Targum is you're not even really coming to bring carbonos. You're coming to daven. According to Rashi and the Mitzudos, you're coming to bring korbanos. Either you're coming to bring a korban chatos, or you're coming to bring a korban a toida and a dava. According to the Targum, you're not coming to bring korbanos, you're coming primarily to be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki beisi beis tefilah l'yikorei l'chol o'amim. When you come to bring the korbanos, make sure you first do tshuva before you are mispalel. And then what else? He says words, and these words, in fact, I saw this quote in a number of places. When you come to the Beis Hamikdash, make sure you go, like we mentioned on Friday, you go to seminars. You turn your ear to listen to the teaching of Torah from the Kohanim. Usehei mikarev udnoch. You shall bring your ear close lekabalah ulfan, to receive the Torah, the teaching of Oiraisa min kohanah v'chakimaya, from the Kohanim and the Chachamim. The law sehei kitip shaya. He translates here the word kisil as a tipish. Don't be a fool. Don't be like the fools, the mekarvin korbana al chovehon, who bring korbanos, the zevach, the law soivin, who do not do tshuva min uvadehoin be shaya, from their evil deeds, da'achidin bidehon, which they have in possession in their hands, the loy soihi miskabel berava, and that way you will be accepted. And you will not, the Rasha who does not do tshuva and brings karbonos, his karbonos will not be accepted with will, arum, because they do not know the difference between good and evil. So it says here clearly that the korbanos of the Rishoyim, the Kesilim, or the Tipshim, they do not realize, why are they Tipshim? They do not realize that before you bring a korban, you have to do tshuva. Therefore, their karbanos are not accepted with will, and they do not know the difference between tov lebish. The Targum adds into the pasuk an extra word that does not appear in the pasuk. According to the Rashi and the Mitzudas, they didn't say that. It just says that they don't realize that what they're doing is evil. They do not realize that bringing a karban without bringing tshuva is an act of evilness. According to the Perush of the Targum, there's a different interpretation of the pasuk. They're wicked, foolish people. They do not do tshuva, and they do not realize the difference between good and bad. The word good is absent in the pasuk. Okay, now there are a few short ideas I want to share here with you. Before we go further, this pasuk, the Gemara Masechta Brachos, focuses on this pasuk. We all know the famous Chazal, it's a Mishnah in Masechta Brachos, Lo yikanes adam lehar habayis, b'makloi uvinoloi uvipundosoi uveovok sha'al gabe raglav. When a person comes to the Beis Hamikdash, you are not allowed to come there with your staff, with your walking stick, and with your shoes. You have to take off your shoes when you ascend the Makom HaMikdash. Uvid Pundoso, and your money belt, and Avok Sha'al Gabe Raglof, and dust upon your feet. Okay, that all is alluded to here in this pasuk, where the pasuk says, Shemor Raglucha Kasher Teleich El Beis Elokim. Raglucha, of course, refers to your walking stick, because when you're walking, that's the regel. And it refers, of course, to your shoes. And of course, it refers to the dust on your feet. The punduk is a little bit more difficult. Your money belt, that really feels, where's a person running? A person's always walking to where the money is. Where does the mind take your feet? It takes you where you're gonna get the best. You're gonna earn money. So it's also nichlal in the regel. What? Okay. So here it alludes to. What?
You go to shul, they want you to come with the money.
I said no shtaros in the Beis Hamikdash.
Okay. I read that in Lubavitch they charge the people who want to collect money a license.
They just came out yesterday.
A license to come. But they say it's really a technique in order to prevent non-Jews. It's just a cover to prevent certain types of people.
What's going on there?
Okay. He has here a little bit of a drush. He has here a drush. Vayovek ish imoy ad alois hashochar. The word ovok means dust. But avak also means to wrestle. It means to connect. Rashi there says it means to be mekusha, to be tied. When Yaakov Avinu he wrestled with the Sarshal Esav, to an observer it looks like they're entangled with one another. The Yaakov was avak means to cleave. To cleave.
Dust.
That's the Shudash Omekra.
No, but he also says that when you're wrestling,
you're bringing us. That's a different. I think Rashi says that's another interpretation. Rashi there brings two interpretations. One is when they were wrestling, they brought up dust. There was so much commotion. There was so much interaction that dust came up. Another interpretation, Rashi, is that the word Vayyovik does not mean dust. It means Mikusha. Comes from the word of to be tied or to be connected, l'chabek, to be connected. That in a wrestling match, the two individuals who are wrestling, they look to an observer as if they're tied to one another. Because you don't see, if you don't come very close and see that they're fighting, they're trying to kill each other, it looks like there are two human beings which are connected to one another. So here in the Sanasi Bamdinis, he quotes from the Tosfos Yom Tov. And he says, and this doesn't say exactly in this form, but the idea is that when you come to the Beis HaKnesses, the four things, don't come, as I mentioned, don't come with your makel, with your pundosoy, with your shoes, and don't come with ovok sha'al raglav. Don't come with issues to the Beis HaMedrash. Don't come connected. When you're here in the Beis Medrash, the Beis HaMikdash, there's nothing else. There's no Wi-Fi in the Beis HaMikdash. Cell phones don't work. If your cell phone is on, if you have an agenda, You're mekusha. Your mind is not somewhere else. You're mekusha. Don't come with avak shal gab raglav. I can only be here for 2 minutes. My wife is outside waiting for me. I have something I have to do. I only can be here. When you come to the Beis HaMikdash, Shemor Ra'ach HaShatelech El Beis Elokim, guard your regel, that your regel should not have Ovok Sh'al Raglof. It should not be tied to another activity or event that is more important than what you have to do here in the Beis HaKnesses. Good morning, Mr. Ladder. Okay, that's one interpretation. Another idea. Okay, there's an idea. We have over here the word regel. We mentioned last week the word raglecha. Raglecha here is spelled with an extra yud. Okay, I told you one thing. I actually forgot to bring it. I apologize. The in Shulchan Aruch there are 10 things a person has to do. If you it doesn't count by number, but if you count the laws in Shulchan Aruch, according to what I've seen in one of my svarim that I used to prepare, if you count the laws of Shulchan Aruch, you'll see there are exactly 10 things a person has to do to prepare before he comes into the Beis HaKnesses. He has to wash the Tilas Yodayim, he has to go to the Beis HaKisei, he has to put on his talis and tefillin. There are 10 things that has to be done. Shemar raglcha kasher teilecho Beis Elokim. Why is there an extra yud? It's a kriv of siv. It's alluding that guard your regel on the way to the Beis Elokim. Make sure you take care of those 10 things. Very nice. Okay,
regel, then what can mean like a routine.
Oh, that we mentioned that also last week is that regel comes from regilos mitzvah sanashim elimuda shemor raglcha kasher teilecho Beis Elokim. Don't come to the Beis Hamikdash or the Beis HaKnesses only because you came yesterday.
No, but in light of what you just said, it's regal, but then the extra yud you said, right?
Yeah, the extra yud is the 10 things.
It's 10 components of the routine.
Okay. 10 parts of the routine that have to be done. Okay, the ten different things that need to be done. Okay, now this is a very interesting story. Okay, now this is something that is very little bit dangerous. But I'm going to tell you now, and it's not for our generation, but it's recorded history. So we're going back to the 17th century. Tach v'tat. Let's even go back more recently. I mean, who can say such things today? If someone would say something like this, they would. Again, I'm warning you. What I'm telling you is dangerous. Off the record. Okay. The Holocaust. Okay, the Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe. The Imre Emes is the Ger Rebbe. The Ger Rebbe says that he took note that in the Holocaust, he wasn't the only one to say this, the Holocaust, the Sfardim, Kemat, was spared, the horrors, by and large.
True.
They were not spared.
Absolutely not true.
At all?
Relatively.
Okay.
Tahiti was
Okay. Relatively.
The Greek was wiped out.
Okay, it's like I told you. I told you in advance. This is controversial. I'm just telling you.
Because the Ashkenazim had no idea what was going on in this world.
Okay, you're right, okay. I'm just scared. You're right. Alright, I don't know. I shouldn't.
They say what he said.
Okay, but
it's a big toast that people.
You're right. But relatively speaking, the Sfardim were less affected. What the degree?
Comparatively, it was very little.
Comparatively. Okay, whatever it is. Not that Hitler didn't try and Hitler didn't want. We all know that Hitler wanted to come to America also and kill every Jew in America. I always say, I had this neighbor that always used to tell me, he's no longer living, this fellow, that in America, every Jew that survived in America is a survivor. Everyone is a survivor because Hitler had his way. He would have come to America and would have killed. He would have killed every Jew in America as well. There's nothing to talk about. So everyone is a survivor. But the Ger Rebbe says that relatively speaking, we find that the Sfardim was spared more than the Ashkenazim. And why? So he says something very controversial, because they are nizer in the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. You go to a Sfaradish shul, at least I don't know what goes on today, but in those times it was unheard of for there to be talking during davening. And more than that, the people would not speak in the Beis HaKnesses Dvarim Sichas Chulin. And whereas he says among the Ashkenazim there was a terrible zilzal in Sichas Chulin and the zilzal in the Kedusha space Hakeneses. So this is what he said. Obviously it's very controversial. Now what's interesting is that the truth of what he said was already said in the 17th century by the Tosfos Yom Tov. We all are aware of the horrors of Tach V'Tat, the Chmelnytsky massacres, and the Chmelnytsky massacres. It was not even known ad hayom hazeh exactly how many people were killed, somewhere between 50,000 to 500,000 people.
Well, hundreds of thousands.
Well, it's not really clear. It's a very big debate exactly, but even some say up to 500,000 people were killed, tortured and murdered in the most gruesome way imaginable. Mm-hmm. But the Tosfos Yom Tov shockingly says, I'll read you here one of his exact words, Bikesh Hagoin Baal Tosfos Yom Tov. He's the Mechaber of the Tosfos Yom Tov in the Mishnah, the famous Tosfos Yom Tov. She Yiglu Loi, he asked, he was Mevakesh, She Yiglu B'Sheilas Chaloim Al Mo V'Loma Bo Horo Hazois, the Gilu Min HaShamayim, She Agzeros Nitchu al ha'om beglal hadiburim bebeis hakneses. It was revealed to the base of the Bethesda that because of the talking in the base hakneses, that's why the horrors of Tach V'Tat happened.
You're right.
It's a shocking, shocking thing to say. Okay. Now
he made a mishberach for that.
He made a special mishberach which we still have today, which we used to say. However, yesh letzayin. This is something which is terrifying to hear. The enormity, we can't even begin to imagine what would happen then. In some ways, it was even worse than the Holocaust. The brutality. What they did to people, Nechliku Shnei Gedoli Hadar, there is Rav Pinchas, Mikur, you know these much better than I do, Mikuritz,
Rav Pinchas Koritz,
Vrav, Yud Beis, Yud Saba, Me Ostro.
The Ostro. That's actually where
the Ostra.
No,
the Saba may Ostra.
That's where the Marshal comes from.
Okay, they had. It says here that they had a very intense debate, a very intense disagreement, as to the cause of the Gezeres Tach V'Tat. Okay, the Saba may Ostra said, "Isser haGadol biYoseh Achshav Umash Shemedarim beSakneses says Dvar Metel Mishasatfila." He sided with the Tosfos Yom Tov. He says Tach V'Tat happened because of talking to beSakneses. Rav Pinchas Mikoritz said, "Shemichshol Gadol Nagel Lord this, okay, because of Pritzos." Okay, he talks about there was an Indian of Pritzos that took place in that generation. Again, controversial. This debate did not die. Okay, this debate between these two went on and on and on. At kidei kach, until they decided they're going to take a girl hagra. Okay? A girl hagra.
They were
chassidim. Okay, but l'soif is the equivalent of what we call a girl hagra. L'soif l'vtoach echad mechameshchem sheitoyev v'hapasit sheipol olav mevatem rishoyna yochiach lohem imi hatzedek. They decided to do what we call a girl hagra. They live before the gra. Time of the gra. Same time of the gra. Okay, so they opened up a pasuk. They opened up the chumash, and what was the pasuk? Hakizoina yase esachoseina.
Pritzos wins.
So it appeared to be that Pritzos wins. Who was right? The Pinchas Mikaretz. The names are Pinchas Kayamim. So the Saba me Oistra says, I'm right. What do you mean you're right? The pasuk says Hakizoina Yasa Esachaisenu. The Bnei Yaakov said about the sister Dina. Look at the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says Lo Yoei Limehave Misamar Bichnesh Dehoin Di Yisrael. It's not right. The Bnei Yaakov says we don't want that it should be said. It should be gossip. In the Batei Kinesios, and some of the different gears in the Batei Midrashos, that our sister was taken as I was taken, it was contaminated to defile to Shechem ben Hamor. So he says, the Farish in Targum, that it should not be said in Beis HaKnesses. This is going to be the gossip. This is going to be the topic of conversation. So you see that the focus of the Pasuk is the talking in the Beis HaKnesses. So they both won. So I believe there is a very strong Limud HaMusar. Limud HaMusar is that today, unfortunately, people like to tell you why it happened, right? Unfortunately, we hear that in the papers, why bad things happen to good people. They like to go. So the truth is, just like back in the time, in the 17th century, 1648, 1649, when there was a disagreement, and it was revealed, at least do if you want to put confidence in the Gerel HaGra, you have Emunah, what it says is that they were both right. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. There's no one answer that fits. No one answer that everyone. For everyone, there's something else. Everyone has their weakness and their need for the mechazek. There's truth to every different time. It's just a question of which reason is more appealing or resonates with a person more. In our generation, a 1,000%, not 100%, not even 1,000,000%. But you have to understand, we're going back to the time of the Gra. We're going back to the year 16. We're going back. We're dealing with this is the time when they wrote the Gra was seven. As much as so this was 1648. This is even before. This is 1648, 1649. We're dealing here with the Shach and the Taz. We're dealing over here with people that it's beyond our comprehension. Who their greatness. Of who they were.
They had their differences.
Well, they had their differences, but they at least when they said something, it had carried obviously more weight. They obviously were more in tune with spirituality than anyone our generation can possibly be. So it's an interesting thing. There was a disagreement. Each one maintained their ground. They took the Gerel HaGra, and the Gerel HaGra basically said, "You're both right. I got a pasuk. The pshat and the pasuk is like one, and the Targum seems to indicate like the other. You see, elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. It's a limud musar. There are many different reasons why bad things happen. It's a convergence of many different reasons, and every person has to know what he needs to be mechazek in order to prevent anything from happening in the future." Yeah. Okay.
You know, they make trips through the cemeteries in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Around this time of the year. So,
yeah, this weekend.
Yeah, so a number of years ago, Rabbi Leaf led the group, and from getting from Flatbush to the cemetery, you have to pass through Brownsville.
Yeah.
So Rabbi Leaf quoted Rabbi Miller saying that you see all the shuls in Brownsville were destroyed because people used to talk
about Beis HaKnesses. There was once a fellow.
That could apply to East
Brown. This is shocking. There was once a fellow. There was once a fellow, he moved into the neighborhood, he was a Kanoi, in this neighborhood, a very popular shul. He asked the rabbi, "Can I make an announcement? I want to ask something very important, I want to tell the tzibur." So the rabbi figured, what is this, a chashuv person, what is he possibly going to say? He wants to make an appeal, he wants to, who knows what. Okay, so he insists, he wants to make an announcement between Mincha, right before end of davening, Mincha Maariv. So he gets up, and he says, "Rabbi, so I just moved into the neighborhood a couple of weeks ago, I bought a house, I paid a lot of money for my house, and I'm afraid that it was a poor investment, because I see here in this Beis HaKnesses there's a lot of talking during davening, and Chazal say a Beis HaKnesses in which one talks will turn into a Beis Avodah Zarah, and if this turns into a Beis Avodah Zarah, then the value of the real estate will go all the way down, and it'll be a very great loss. So you people over here, I mean, it was shocking. A person would go and say this in the Beis HaKnesses, they would throw him out, say such a thing. But I know who this is. I know the person.
There was a shpivel.
Yeah.
Rob was very came in and he was talking and he was mocked. But he says, from the you step in the door until you step out, absolutely no talking.
How long did that last?
Just a week or two, and he saw everyone's walking around with a gloomy face, and the parnos of the town went down. And he went over. He says, "What's going on?" He says, "You're stopping chesed and help." Because we would come to shul and I would talk to a friend. I said, "You know, my horse went lame. I don't know how I'm going to do my deliveries." So my friend would say, "Take my horse for a while." Another guy says, "My wife."
Shidduchim.
So he says, "My wife, your food." But we stop talking. We don't know what's going on. We can't help.
All right, you have to.
I'm not saying to talk.
Everything has to be done in moderation.
Because sorin, that when you go to shul, you don't know who the people in the shul you're sitting next to. You don't know the sorrows they have and how you would think.
Okay.
Night same Friday night for supper.
Okay, there's one other quick.
That's why you have the back room with the cereals. You can share your problems.
And water.
Chazal said there are three. All right, there's something else I want to. Okay, let's go to the next parak. Okay, let's start the next parak. Al tivahel al picha. Do not be impetuous. Tavahel Lashon the Rashi, the Mitzuda says the word Tavahel comes from Lashon Behol Umehirus. Do not be swift, do not be too quick. Al Picha, with your mouth. Do not let words come out of your mouth too quickly. Think before you speak. Velibicha, and your heart. Al Yimaher, Lehoitzi Dover, Lefneho Lokim. Two things. Al Yimaher, Al Picha, Velibicha. And your heart should not cause, we'll read the Mitzudas in a moment, Al Yimaher should not be quick to cause you, L'choytzi dover lefnehu Elokim, why? Ki hu Elokim ha-shamayim v'yata al-aretz, Hashem is in heaven and you are on the earth, Al-kein, therefore, you devarecho, your words shall be me'atim, shall be few. So let's see first the Mitzudas David. We have two words, we have the word devahel and the word yimaher. Mitzudas David, Al-ti Tivahel al picha al tamaher lidaber beficha. Do not be quick to speak with your mouth. Afilu libcha, and even your heart. Al yimaher lifatoyscha. Second warning: your heart should not be quick to entice you, to influence you, to encourage you. Lohoitzi mi picha davar tuluna, a complaint. So the Mitzudas here right away says that we are discussing complaining before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is not going to be the opinion of all of the commentators. Some are going to say that do not be quick to offer vows, to make nidorim and nidovis. That's the Mitzudas is coming here to reject that interpretation, at least in his symbol. Do not be quick to complain. Just because things do not go your way, do not say, do not complain to Hashem. Lotzi midbicha davar teluna klapi mailo lehisraim, to complain al midoysav on Hashem's ways. Next, why not? Ki elokim b'shamayim hamakom baruchu d'ribayne shalaylam hu b'shamayim mimal v'yatol aretz mitachas v'afilu. Now here we have this very bizarre. I don't really have a grasp. Rashi is really quoting from Rashi this concept. V'afilu cholosh milamalo v'gibe milamata. Even if we have a situation where the weak is above, the weak is in a position of power. The gibor milamata, and the mighty man is milamata. The mighty man is the passenger. You go. The person who is the chauffeur for the president of the United States. Who is the most powerful man in the country? The president of the United States. He has the power of life and death. There's almost unlimited what he can do. And the person who's driving his limousine, he's just the worker. What power does he have? Nothing. Yet who is in control of the life of the president?
The limousine driver.
If he does something foolish, going 90 miles an hour on the highway, and you do something foolish, it's all over, no matter what. Yet even in that situation where the person the weak is lamala, he is in a position of power. And the gibor is lamata, the president is just a passenger. Who's afraid of who in the car?
But if the life is over.
What?
If he gets into a car crash and kills the president, then his life is over.
Okay, but so, but still,
in control of the president. Who is in control of the limousine driver? Bottom line, president is in control.
So even though at this moment in time he is in a position of power and the president, the gibor, is in a position of weakness, it doesn't matter. Since in essence the person of power is there, the cholosh is afraid of the gibor. So one more time. So afilu cholosh milamala, the weak one is milamala, the gibor milamata. Emas hecholosh al hagibor. The reality is, the weak person is afraid of the gibor, even though the gibor is in a lower position. The kol shekain.
It's going to be the other way around. Emas gibor is afraid of the cholosh.
The opposite.
The opposite. The gibor is afraid of the cholosh because the cholosh is above.
Fear
the high ground.
The fear of the cholosh is on the gibor.
On the gibor. The gibor is afraid because the cholosh has the high ground. He's on top. He's got the power at the moment, even though he's the cholosh.
I'm sorry, let me read again. Malkan Baruch Hu B'Shemayim Miata Alar Znachas V'Afilu Cholosh Milamala. The Cholosh is Milamala, the Gibor Milamata, Emas HaCholosh Al HaGibor.
Right, so Gibor is afraid of the Cholosh because the Cholosh has the high
ground. No, no.
Saying Kol Shekein.
No, but here, no, but look at it. Emas HaCholosh Al HaGibor. The Cholosh is still afraid.
The Cholosh is on top of the Gibor.
No.
I think it means.
What is it, a Kol Shekein?
Certainly when the gibor is in a position of power.
Right.
The cholosh is afraid of the gibor.
Even though the cholosh is on the high ground, he is afraid. And imagine how much even more...
Allah has come when the gibor is on the high ground. Even when, one more time, afilu cholosh milamala, the cholosh is milamala, the gibor milamata. So you would think, if you just look at this at face value, you would think, who's afraid of who? The gibor is afraid of the cholosh. But that's not the reality. The reality is that even in this situation, the emas cholosh ala gibor. So the kol shekein alachas kam v'kama gibor milamala v'cholosh milamata, when the gibor is milamala v'cholosh milamata, so therefore, being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is milamala, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has full power, and we are lamata, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in essence is the gibor, and we are the cholosh, alachas kam v'kama, how much we have to have fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's not proper to complain, to say words of complaint before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah.
I would think of it as whoever it is that is the lowest on the totem pole, Lamala,
yeah,
is still, even though relatively weak in that realm, is still far stronger than the strongest of whoever it is.
Lamata,
but that's not what.
I mean, Roish be a tail to an Ari, then be the Roish to what does the Chazal say? To a lamb. Lari, instead of being a rosh, let's to a shu'ol, is it a fox? Yeah. To a fox. Better than being the head of a fox. Okay, let's see. The kolosh and gibor, the alkane, the afork.
Might be smart, but the Lari is still strong.
Alkane, keep a marbis, the vodim, tovel, the hislan, the hashraim, mul, the gzeres, the mugdim. Therefore, due to a marbis, the vodim, if a person complains too much, he's going to become tovel, the hislanin, to complain, the hishraim. Gezeras hamakom. So the pasuk concludes. Therefore, a person should keep his words less. The more you talk, the more likely it is you're going to say something that's not proper, and you're going to be held accountable. Okay, so this is the first interpretation. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi says something very similar. Loitzi davar lefnei elokim ledaber koshe klapei ma'ila. Came out the same thing as what the mitzvah says. Do not complain. Do not issue harsh words against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Ki. Even when the cholosh is milamala, the gibor milamata, emas cholosh ala gibor, the kol shekein gibor lamala, the cholosh lamata. Okay, so pretty much Rashi and the Mitzudas are on the same page. Targum is a little bit different. Targum pasuk aleph. Oh, we're getting there in the Moses. Okay, al tivahel al memroch. Do not be quick with your words. To do what? L'shabosho yosmilei pumoch. To l'shabesh. L'shabosho means to discredit. To discredit your own words. The libch, in other words, be consistent. Let's read the whole passage. V'libach lo yochei la'apoka milalal. Your heart should not be quick. Yochei means to be quick. Li'apoka mimalal. To cause words to come out. Now here is where he goes on to explain. The idon de'at mitzalei kadam Hashem. At the time when you pray before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So with the focusing here, the zman of tefillah. Rashi and the Mitzudos did not say that. According to Rashi and the Mitzudos, it could be that you just were talking about a casual conversation. And in your casual conversation, you say something negative about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. According to Targum, we discussed when you're davening. When you're davening, you should be very careful what you say, what you're mispalel for. Do not compose a nusach that is disrespectful and cause your words to be mishubash. Arum, why? Hashem shalit al kol om. Hashem rules over the entire world. V'yosef al kursei. and Hashem sits upon his yikorei, upon the kisei hakovoid. Okay, now that's really way out. Ki elokim b'shamayim. Where does it say in the pasuk that Kadosh Baruch Hu is yoshev on the kisei hakovoid? Rashi over here, the Targum over here is going a bit far by telling us when it says the shamayim over here means the kisei hakovoid. The ad yosev ala ra, and you sit in this world. Begin came there for Yehoin Milei Pumach Kalilin. The words that come out of your mouth shall be minor, shall be small. Keep it short and sweet. Okay, so the focus again according to Targum is we're discussing here a time of davening when you are mispalel. You should be careful what you say because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshev al Kisei HaKavod and man is upon this world. It's very interesting when in davening is the only place, Kamat, the only place we focus on the Kisei HaKavod. In the brach of Asher Yotzar, right? Asher Yotzar has done the chach galu vidul lefnei chisei chivdech hashem yipasech echad mehem o yisasein echad mehem iefshar lehiskeim v'lamol lefonecha. So it's very interesting, and there must be, I don't know what it means, there must be some connection. But we hear the Targum is telling us over here that when you're going and you're davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you should be very careful not to say something that's going to be mishabish and not something which is going to be quick to say something that's improper, because Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshev al Kisei HaKavod. That right away triggers that we're dealing over here with the bracha of the Asher Yotzar, because the Asher Yotzar, to the best of my memory at this moment, is the only bracha which we actually make mention of the Kisei HaKavod. And there, what do we say? That we can't exist. We're dealing with our very existence. Sh'im yiposech echad mehem o yisosein echad mehem iefshar lehiskayim v'lamol lefanecha. Some even have the gears, afilu shoh achas, even for one moment. Okay, so just having to think about it, I don't know, there must be something more here in this pasuk. Okay, now a few of them, so that's the basic pshat, Rashi, Metzudas, and Targum. Now a couple of short ideas. First of all, there's a beautiful, everyone has been taught this when you were a child, and everyone has been challenged to find the source for what I'm about to tell you, but actually this is one of the sources. As children were all taught, don't talk too much, because the person's words are metered. Everyone, when you come into this world, you ever hear this before? You're given a certain number of words. You're given a billion words, a million words, and when you use up all of your words, that's it. It's time to go to Shemayim. So be careful. Every word just comes out of your mouth, you're spending your life. Everyone, I'm sure you've all heard that. So is that just a bug maisa? Is that a narishkeit? Prove it to me. Show me a maimer chazal that says such a thing. So the answer is, today's your lucky day, Labor Day, this is it. This is the pasuk. Al tivahel al picha. Who's the one that says the same called the Shir LaHashem? The name of the sefer called the Shir LaHashem. This is the makar of this chazal. Al tivahel al picha. Do not be quick to give forth words. V'libucha al yimaher, and your heart should not be quick to cause your mouth. Why? Because then the hoelo kimba shamayim. And the Ata al Aretz. Every person is comprised of two parts. The Elohim portion and the Gashmis, the part that comes from the earth. Hashem created man, ofar min hu adama, vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim. And the goal is to keep these two things together. It's a shidduch, a zivug. The two things should not be separated one from the other. But if a person uses up his words, he's quick to say too many words, then the Elohim portion of his existence returns to Shemayim, and the Gashmiyus, the Guf, the Chomer, the matter of man, goes down to the world. There is separation, which means death. Death.
Are excluded, basically.
What?
Divrei Torah are excluded.
I hope so. It has to be Divrei Torah, L'shem Divrei Torah. This should be the real thing. That's the point. Al tevahel al picha. Don't be quick to take out too many words. You know why? Because it's going to bring premature death. Then the ki hu Elokim, the spiritual component of the person's essence, bashamayim, will return to the heaven, and the atah, you the guf, the chomer of your body, will descend al haaretz. Okay, now let's go to another idea. Okay, we all know the Gemara, the beautiful Gemara, Gemara Masech, the Brachas relates where a individual went down to serve as the Shliach Tzibur before in the presence of Rabbi Chanina. And he got up and he said, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu, Elokei Avosein, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vehanayra, Vehaadir, Vehaizuz. He went on to enumerate a long laundry list of praises for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Nusach HaTzila. This is the Gemara Masechta Brachas. After he finished the Shemona Esrei, Rabbi Chanina called him over and said to him, "Siyamtinu l'kulu shvachei demarach."
That's all you got?
That's all you got? That's it? You listed 10, 15 things. That's all you got? I'll bring you a dictionary. A lot more adjectives. A lot more things you could have said. And he went on to say that this that we say, Hakel, Hagod, Lagiba, V'Hanayra, we only allowed to say because Moshe Rabbeinu went and composed the Nusach. If not for Moshe Rabbeinu, even that we would not be allowed to say. Mia Malel, Gevuras Hashem, Yashmia, Koil Tehilasa. Who is allowed to praise Hashem? Only one that can express all of his praises. And since it is impossible to express all of his praises, less is more. But we have a principle. There's a contradiction to this principle. The contradiction to this principle is Niksas Shvachoi Bifanov. Noyach Ish Tzadik Tamim Hoye Bidarosav Ki Oischori Isi Tzadik Lufanai Badar Hazeh. So why is it that when Hashem spoke to Noach directly and Hashem said Ki Oischori Isi Tzadik, and Hashem did not say Tamim Tamim, but yet when Hashem spoke about Noach at a distance, he says Noyach Ish Tzadik Tamim. So Rashi says, Niksas Shvachoi Bifanav. So the answer is, so now the question is, if the Ribbono Shel Olam is here, is present in this world, if the Shekhinah is right in front of us, so then we can say whatever we want. We can say an infinite list of praises, and when someone will question us how dear we try to enumerate all of Hashem's praises, Mi'amalul Gevuras Hashem Yashmiya Kol Tehilaso, we will respond, we're not enumerating all of his praises. Since Hashem is present, it's Niksas Shvachai Bifanov. I've listed what?
It's present everywhere.
What do you mean it's present everywhere? If Hashem is Shekhinah is you can sense it 100% right here, I can say whatever. By the way, another thing I want to point out, I want to say this from going, when Chazal saying Niksas Shvachai Bifanov, even though the example Chazal gives is from Noach, and there are two words, Ish Tzadik Tamim, and when Hashem spoke to Noach, Hashem says Tzadik Tamim is not half. Tamim is like infinitely more. There's a tzaddik and there's a tzaddik tamim. When Hashem only says niksas shachal form does not mean half. Niksas means a mashu, partial. In the presence of a person, you just give partial praise. Doesn't mean you give half. Because Hashem said about Noach, tzaddik tamim. Simply, Hashem said, Oischarisi tzaddik. Tzaddik is only half of the word tzaddik tamim. But that's not what it means, because tzaddik tamim is not half. It's not half more. It's infinitely more. So when Hashem just said tzaddik, Hashem was just saying a teeny fraction of the praise of Noach Bifanav. So the question now is, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah is here on this world, which we do believe that Hashem Shekhinah is present on this world, there should be no prohibition to enumerate in the Nusach HaTzvila an infinite number of praises, because whatever we're going to say will only be considered Niksas Shvachai Bifanav. To answer that question, Shlomo HaMelech gives us the answer. Even though it's true, Meloi Chol Aretz Kevaydai, no one's coming to deny that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah is found everywhere, but in the laws of Tzila, Hashem is still considered to be in Shemayim. Hashem is considered to be at a distance, because that's really what we do when we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We distance ourselves. We acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinitely greater than we can possibly imagine. Therefore, when we daven, we view Hashem being at a distance, not being present. If Hashem is not present, then the rule is, you're allowed to give all the praise. You're allowed to give all of the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not part of the praise. That answers the question. Al tevahel al picha. Do not be quick. Do not be quick with your mouth. What does this mean? Don't attempt do not attempt to give over all of the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And don't answer me, I'm allowed to give over all the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because whatever I'll say will only be considered Miksah Shvoche because Hashem is Befanav. No! Hashem is not Befanav. Ki Ho Elokim Bashamayim. Hashem is in the Shemayim, the Atah al Ha'aretz, and you're here on this world. So it's not Befanav. If it's not Befanav, then if you want to give it all, you got to give it all. And if you're going to give it all, you're in a lot of trouble because Mi Ma'al El Gevuras Hashem Yashmiya Kol Tehil Asari. Beautiful word. Fataiching, answering, oh, but you'll tell me, but Hashem is Meloi Chol Eretz Kvoid, Hashem is all over the place. Yes and no. Hashem, certainly the Shekhinah is everywhere, but there are different madrigos. The Shekhinah is more intense, the Kaisel HaMaravi, than the Shekhinah is in Chutz Liaretz, in the Beis HaKadosh, in the Mikdash Ma'at. Same thing, when you Omer Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Tefillah, you recognize, Hashem, you're there, I'm here, I'm humbling myself before you, it's Shaloi Befanav, we apply the principle, if you want to give praise, you got to give it all, me and Malach Vuris Hashem Yashmiya Kol Tilaso. I can't possibly give a Kol Tilaso, so therefore I can't say all the praises. The only thing I can say is with Moshe Rabbeinu, let me say, Hakel HaGod LaGiba
V'HaNoira. Yeah. Use the term, we distance ourselves from Hashem. Maybe Hashem distanced himself from us.
Chas v'shalom. We don't want to say that. I mean in respect. As the Pasuk says, recognize Ki Hu Elokim. We maintain a respectful distance as an oifen of kavod.
So it's not an overt act.
Distance.
No,
that's a different category. That's why in the Gemara
there's
somebody who wanted
to hear Ashvachas. Right, that's a record. That's the Gemara that I quoted. He wanted to hear the Ashvachas. Rabbi Chanina told him, Siam Tinu Lashvachi Demarach, Mia Mal Gurus Hashem Yashmiya Kol Tilaso. But that's only Befanav. That's only Befanav. That's only when it's Befanav. But when it's Shaloi Befanav, then you are allowed. I'm getting all confused. But that's only when it's shaloi befanav. But when it's befanav, when the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in your presence, then you're only allowed to say half of the praises. If I'm only allowed to say a part mix of shvachai, I would be allowed to say every single thing I can possibly imagine because it would all be considered to be in the category of mixas shvachai befanav. So why don't we do it? Because Hashem is not befanav. Hashem is Alokim Bashomayim Viato Al Haaretz. So it's Shaloi Befanav. Shaloi Befanav requires you to list all of the praises. Can you do so? Can't. So therefore, don't do anything. We'll only do what Moshe Rabbeinu has allowed you to do with Akel HaGol Givra Noira. Okay, this is a really cool Gavar, really Fatahitra the Pasuk well. Okay. Before we go further, okay, we're going to get to the Ibn Ezra in a moment. Let's make sure I got everything else I wanted to cover. Okay. Okay, let's go to the Ibn Ezra. Now, we're not going to read the whole Ibn Ezra. Okay, this is a classic Ibn Ezra on this pasuk. Today we all said slichas. And if I'm not mistaken, the slichas that had to be today, I don't know if the pism was from the Rebbe Elazar Kalir, was the pism or not? Okay, but some of the other nothing today was from Elazar Kalir?
And the Kalir mostly is Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, the Yantav itself.
But not the slichas?
I don't think so.
Okay. So this pasuk is a classic Ibn Ezra. It's extremely difficult. I can't make heads and tails out of it. Everyone goes to town with him. Absolutely, we had a whole session on this another time. But just to go through the Rosh Prakim, okay, the first pasuk here. Give me one moment. I'm trying to keep to your edition. I prepared a different edition, so it might be a little bit.
And the other one, it's
page
Nunhei. The one there.
In this one, okay. Let me go take a look. Okay. On page Nunhei. Okay, let's go to the Ibn Ezra. The first, the Nun Gimel.
Nun Gimel, right. Goes into Nunhei.
Okay. On page Nun Gimel, the Ibn Ezra begins. Okay, and he starts off Pasuk of Al Tibohel Omar Avraham Amacharbek. Okay, let's go back to page Nun Gimel. You jump that Ibn Ezra. Jump down. I'm going to jump around where it says Omar Avraham HaMechaber. 1, 2, it's 3 lines before it gets wide. Hine, noho alti ledaber. I have begun to speak. Ki bavur heyois kvoit hamakoim, mole kol makoim. The honor of Hashem fills up the entire world. Velo yuchal adam lehayishama mikol makoim. Huchan loy makom sheyeye loy kavu litvilasa vuhu chayav lechavoid. Okay, so his first is talking about the concept that a person has to designate a makoim to be mispalel. Dan chayiv hu adam lehoides u leshabech lelekob b'chol rega. A person has an obligation to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu every moment in time. Ki chaste imoy b'chol chelkei harega sheyichayenu. That every moment that Hashem gives man life, the yisaneg the hargoshus, and Hashem gives the person the delight of being sensitive that he is alive. Rak ba'avur hayoyis adam esaseg b'iski ha'olam husam lozman. A person really should praise Hashem every single moment of the day, but because that's not the way the world works, Hashem set a time for us to daven. Three times a day. Why shachris min chamar? Because it's very easy. A person sees when the sun rises, when the sun sets, and when it's midday. So these are very easy times to designate as times for tefillah. Alken chayv adam sheyispalel sheyish. That's what the pasuk here is addressing. Al tivahel al picha v'libcha. Now he's really, the Ibn Ezra really is picking up. We have a much greater appreciation here for what the Targum did, because the Mitzudos and Rashi did not mention anything. Mitzudos and Rashi focused on complaints. A person is sitting at his dining room table and he's gossiping. Don't say anything against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't complain about life. The Targum says something very different, nuanced, but different, is in your davening, al tevahel, al picha, during the time of tefillah, don't say foolish things. When you recognize that Hashem is Yoshev al kisei hakovel, we spoke about the Asher Yotza. But here he uses this to mean that when you daven before HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Yom Tov and Shabbos, don't say the slichos, don't say the piyutim, don't say the kinos, especially not the ones from Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir.
He's the one who...
Because he has made 4 fatal mistakes in composing his piyutim. Shocking, right? This is utterly shocking. What?
Mentioned,
we did this, right? This is what I quoted from. Okay, but here we have it inside. I just want to just run the prakim. The Yachshay Beliba, you guard what comes out of your mouth. The Yachshay Beliba, Shehu Oymel Lefnei Melech, the Yoda Lehachayos Ulohamis, Al Kain Osur, She Yispalel Adam, the Yachnis Besech Tfilo Piyutin. You hear? Don't say the Piyutin. Lo Yeda Iker Pirushan. Who knows what they're saying today? Who knew what they said today? Don't rely upon the person who wrote the piyut, because he also doesn't know what he's talking about. Everyone involved is guilty. Every participant who participates in writing the piyutim is guilty. The Kalir is guilty, Art Scroll is guilty, and you, my friend, are guilty in paying for the machzor, the store that sold the machzor is guilty, and you who bought it are guilty, and the people who use it in shul are guilty. Why? O klal, oimer yesh, bepiyute Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir, minuchosai kavod, may he rest in peace. Arba dvarim koshen. Okay, we're not going to go through the 4 things because this is extremely complex and he shows an incredible, incredible command of incredible knowledge. Number one is Hadavar Echad. Just read the Rosh Prakim. The first problem is Ki roivei piyutav chidois umeshalem. Most of his piyutim are riddles and proverbs. The ask her, and therefore basically we ask her, Mipiyut of Echon, he goes on to give an example, okay, Mipiyut Musaf Roshan, he goes on, okay, let's just not go through it. Okay, let's not. He goes on to say, no one even knows what it means. They're riddles. Like Shimshain. Shimshain went and he told the people there, the Plishtim, the riddles. The Leela had to go and figure out and go and get out of him the answer. Okay, then he goes, and let's go down. Vadovar, should we read the Rosh Hashanah? Vadovar Hasheni. That's on the next page Nadalid. He goes down this whole long thing and he analyzes all of these things which don't make, with these pidim which don't make any sense, and you shouldn't do this. Vadovar Hasheni, Shepiyutov, Me'uravim, Beloshin Talmud. You're not supposed to pray in the words of the Gemara. You're supposed to pray in Lashon HaKodesh. In Lashon HaKodesh, and from the Psukim, the most powerful Koyach HaTfilah are the Psukim found in Tanakh. These words are Kodesh Kodashim. To start using words of the Gemara as your means of communication with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is a step down. It's not. It was never meant to be.
Couldn't David HaMelech wrote the Tehillim? He opened up a siddur and he copied.
Va'adaver Hasheni shepiyutav muravim b'loshon Talmud v'yadua ki yesh kama l'shanis b'talmud v'ein moy l'shan kodesh v'chein amru l'shan mikro l'chod l'shan Talmud l'chod u'mish mi hevianu b'tzara hazayis. Look what he writes. It's a tzara. Who brought upon us this tzara? L'hispal b'l'shanis nochiyos. Haloi nechem yohichiach hamadam l'shan ashdoidis. He rebuked the people for speaking l'shan ashdoidis. V'yafki be'es ha'tfilah v'lamoloi nilmad min ha'tfilah sh'akavua. She kula divrei tzochos. It's tzachos. It's clear. B'l'shan ha'kodesh v'lamon espal b'l'shan modai u'poras v'edaim v'yishma. What in the world is going on? Michal, good for you over here. The four lashonis of Geula, what are you using the four expressions to use this for Nosach HaTvila? What is the third complaint, Ibn Ezra, against the Kalir? V'adavar hashlishi afilu hamilay shehem b'loshon HaKodesh yesh bohem te'iyos gidolos. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know grammar. There are mistakes. So even if you want to go use his mishalim, at least get the grammar straight. Okay, and then okay, let's skip this whole thing. Let's go down to Ravi. What?
Poetic license.
Okay, that's the answer, obviously. Okay, now let's go to the next one, the Hadavar HaRavi. Okay, let's go to the next page on here on the left side. Okay, it goes long, yada really Shakol Piyutov Malayan Midrashis Vyagodis Vekach. This is very fascinating what it does. This itself is the topic of the conversation. There's a very big debate when you study Agada, and this is one of the sources used to discuss this topic. When you study the words of Agada, are Agada meant to be taken literally, or are they meant to be taken all as mishalim? We discuss with even Chumash, like there's a Ramban when Hashem appeared to, different things that happened in Tanakh, are these events that really happened, or are these things which are only mishalim? I think the Ramban says that when the Malach came to tell Sarai that she would have a child, so Rashi says it happened pshuto kimashmoi. A Malach came, Avram and a bris mili, he was standing by the Pesach oil. The Malach came and spoke to him and said, Avram ran to the Bokar. The Ramban says it never happened. It was a dream. It was a vision. The whole thing was just a vision. Okay, these are very controversial issues. Did it ever happen? The same way you have this issue when it comes to the different stories in the Torah, you have this issue when it comes to the study of Agada. You have these very bizarre Agada Gemaras. Are they to be taken literally, or are they nothing more than Mishalim? All of the medications in Masechta Gittin, are they real medications, or are they just Mishalim for other things to do for the bringing about Refuah? And there's a big discussion.
Categorize those as Agada.
Okay, but this is a very, so he's taking sides, the Ibn Ezra, and he says, Agada is to be taken literally. And if you're going to start taking Agada and using them as Mishalim in order to be Mispalel, to use them as Tfilos, you are abusing the Mamori Chazal. It's an abuse of Mamori Chazal because I hold Agada is literal. Literal Mahal Tibshan and Agada. The Ein Mikro Yoyt Sibidei Pshutoi, in Kain Ein Royal Espal El Aderech Pshat, Voyader Sheyesh Le Soid, Oihu al derech mashal, oihu kinyan shein halacha kemoisa oishi yifarish le'inyanim radim. Halo yadanim memedesh shashim. Okay, he goes on to give more examples. Okay, then he goes on to say that who supports sin? To go down a couple lines, Rav Sadia Goyen. Rav Sadia Goyen didn't hold from this. He did not hold from piyutim, so therefore if he didn't hold, I have yesh al mi lismoich. V'agoyen Rav Sadia nishma me'elech or arbo dvonim biva ko shusov. In his requests, Hashtaim, he also composed Tilus Rabbeinu Rav Sadia Goyen. And his compositions were simple. Were not like the Kalir. Shelo chibur mechaber kumayim, v'heim aloshna mikro, v'diktuk aloshna be'ein chidois, u'mesholim v'loy darash. And then he goes on to say, to criticize, I don't know who this person is, he goes to criticize another Python. V'chocham hoi b'tzarfas, gam hu chibur bakosha, techilosa, imre ha'zina Hashem v'yesh v'dvodim, Inomoy nchoinim, which are not proper. Mehem she omar harchovas elomois, einhem gvul, umashe einloy gvul, einen nivrak. He goes on to say, there are a lot of people out there that are doing these things. Watch out. Watch out and distance yourself. We do not know where the Kalil lived. The Kiryas Sefer.
So here you have a.
Sarfas, yeah. Okay, but Rabbi Sai, Rabbi Shlomo has a sense of humor. Why do I say that? Who was the Ibn Ezra's? Is a question, either son-in-law or father-in-law, but somehow they were related through very close marriage, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, and Rabbi Yehuda Halevi was. Was maybe in a certain way equal in his time to the Kalir. Okay, one of the greatest Paitonim of all time, probably second to the Kalir. Well, different than the Kalir, but he lived much later on. He lived.
Some of the kibbutz.
He lived later on. I think he left over 1,000. They have to. They published recently over 1,000 piyutim. In his younger years, a lot of them were secular. It's very interesting. He became much more religious later in life, and he devoted everything later in his life was devoted to. But early in his life, it was very like today. In today's society, and a lot of secular nature things that have nothing to do with similarly to us has nothing to do with our religion. But it's very interesting. Here you have the Ibn Ezra that is such a takif. There's no one among all of the Kadmoinim that is so sharp and is on the attack.
He in general was that.
That was his nature. But Rabbi Nishlam has a sense of humor. Look who he gave him as a son-in-law. Or look who his Shver was. The greatest Python of the time.
That's why his Shver and the son-in-law don't.
What? He was alluding to. He was really writing about his son-in-law. He just wanted the substitute. It could be. Enochinami. So this indeed is very interesting. Okay, so it's Kedai. So that's, you know, so you should know. But it's interesting. The Ibn Ezra is really a takeoff on the Targum. That's really what we take out of this. Because what does this have to do? What gives the right to Ibn Ezra to go say, Al Tival Al Picha? What is my Inzel is there? Well, you're just using this as an opportunity to go give a whole drasha? No, he has a very strong source. The Targum here talks about that during your davening, b'shas hatfila, be careful, comes out of your mouth. And the Ibn Ezra says, I'll tell you what it means, be careful, comes out of your mouth, stay away from the piyutim. Kim, and who else, when we learned this, I forgot, there were two, Rabbeinu B'chaye,
and
Radak, Radak. Those two support him. Two other extremely famous, well-known people are on his side, on his team. The Radak, the famous Rav David Kimchi.
The Radak was a grammarian.
Radak did not hold from piyutim. Not as strong. Nothing close to what he writes.
Personality.
But he is and Rabbeinu B'chaye. Rabbeinu B'chaye also was a critic of the Paitanim. But everyone besides those of all favored with the Paitanim, they've come to the defense of the Kalir, and we all know one more. We live on him. He is the fabric of our lives. The holy Kalir. Everything, all the whole. What would Yom Tov be without the piyutim of the Kalir?
No, especially
Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
No, the reason they pounce on him, you didn't know who the Kalir was. The Kalir was a Tana.
We don't know where he was. Okay, we'll stop here.